Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning in our continuing journey with the Israelites through the desert and at the Red Sea, I want to read from Exodus 14 again, a couple of passages, and I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Beginning chapter 14 in Exodus, verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians." And then a short passage from Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 1. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save," Isaiah says, "nor his ear too dull to hear." Well, first today, a quick recap over the last few weeks in Exodus and the faith-building journey for Moses and the Israelites we saw they were on and we were following them on, leading to a moment only God could orchestrate. God had freed Moses, you remember, and the Israelite people from captivity in Egypt, and then led them with a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by night on a journey through the desert toward the promised land, taking care to make sure that they had food and water all along the way. He led them to the shores of the Red Sea and had them set up camp there for a while, unbeknownst to them what he planned to do and not sure why they were there. Then we saw God change Pharaoh's heart, causing him to gather his best troops and chariots to go after and recapture the Israelites and return them to slavery in Egypt. And when the Israelites learned of Pharaoh's approach, God tells Moses to tell them. The Israelites at the time, of course, were terrified, screaming, whining, and Moses tells them, according to God's instructions, to not be afraid, that the Lord will fight for you. Just stay calm. But even with that assurance, they were still in despair as the clouds of sand rose in the distance from the approaching chariots. So God told them to stop crying and to get moving. Listen to that, to get moving. Reminding them that while he is always at work for them and for us, he wants us involved in what he is doing in our lives. That when the mountain is too big for us and the valley seems too long and we can't see to the end of where we're headed, even if we know where we're headed, that we can always take the next logical step ahead of us with him, one step at a time, moment by moment, day by day, trusting him for what's next. And so there they were on the shores of the Red Sea with God at hand fighting for them, but still uncertain as to their ultimate fate. They saw their options as one, to be killed and buried in the desert, or to return to Egypt to be slaves again. Maybe some were even hoping that the Pharaoh would forget the whole thing, turn around and head home empty-handed. Well, anyway, those were the options they saw before them, but God had something else in mind, something entirely different, something incredible, something they never saw coming. So there they stood, silently, in a moment of suspense as Moses, their leader, raised his hand and rod over the waters which stood blocking their way. As Moses did that, a mighty wind from the east gusted from out of nowhere, blowing at the beards and the cloaks of those who were standing there watching all this, still very skeptical and very much afraid. They watched as the wind began to split the now roaring sea. The frothy waves rose, forming glassy walls above them that became an avenue of escape for them, their pathway to freedom, an opening created for them by their God who was there with them all the time. They never saw it coming. They probably never even believed something like that could happen, even with God. It was the Old Testament's most dramatic object lesson, at least as far as I'm concerned, and one of God's greatest miracles. A simple lesson with a clear message. Trust God to deliver you in his own unique way all the time. Their options, return to slavery in Egypt or die in the desert. God's option, to part the Red Sea, leading to the Promised Land and the life they were created to live. You remember Daniel, of Daniel and the Lion's Den fame. Well, Daniel saw his options to obey King Darius's decree that no one should pray to God, only to pray to King Darius for 30 days. Or he would continue to pray to God and know he would be thrown into the lion's den to be eaten by the lions. God's option, to shut the mouths of the lions. Jonah saw running from the call of God to go to Nineveh to proclaim God's name to the evil people there to save them as his only option. And he wasn't going. He tried to run away. God's option, he sent a fish after Jonah to swallow him up and spit him out at Nineveh to do what God had called Jonah to do. Pontius Pilate saw Christ crucified, dead, and laid in a tomb as his option when he sentenced him. To get Christ out of his life, to be dead and gone, a problem to him no more. But God's option, his son would be raised from death to life 3 days later for you and for me. But in addition to those moments and many more, and the miracles of God throughout history and in our world today, God is always intervening for good in our lives, in our world, through gentle and seemingly ordinary providential ways, but always with the supernatural touch, ways that we often miss because we're too busy. We have other things to do. We don't notice people around us that we should. That's why it's important for us to pay attention to the, quote, coincidences, or the, quote, surprising circumstances, or, quote, the seemingly insignificant things, at least in the world's view, of life which occur around us every day. To be sensitive to the priorities of family and friends and to the things that touch and move us, even in the smallest of ways. Those God wink moments, or as I like to say, and I've experienced, those moments when God pokes us to do something we hadn't seen before and hadn't planned on doing. God is always at work in the world, sometimes in miracles like the Red Sea, but also in the gentlest of ways, working through us and others to encourage us, to help us, to change us, and to change others around us. What are you facing today? An unexpected doctor's report? What struggles have you come through lately? Adversity that you've experienced, failure, loss of loved ones. What are you facing? A mountain you're not sure you can climb? Have you trusted it to God? Really? Why not? Why not? And in the unfolding of God's active presence in our lives, burdens often become blessings. Tears lead to triumphs as we become more who God created us to be. As we put him more and more in the lead, God's redemptive grace and forgiveness overcomes the areas of our lives where healing and change is needed. With God's hand of provision, providence, and grace always at work in our lives, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 8:28 that God will work out all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We may not see it that good in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. We may not see it until we step into eternity and look back and realize, ah, I see what you did. But that's a promise of God for us to claim and embrace, that he will work out all things together for good. And as Isaiah reminds us in the words we read earlier in Isaiah 59:1, surely the arm of the Lord, Isaiah says, is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. In 2001, Tony and Lauren Dungy were wondering, what's next? Tony had done all he could do as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the last 6 years to lift the program, but he was fired. In his book, Quiet Strength, written with my son Nathan, he said that he never lost sight of the fact that the Glazers, the owners of the Bucs, had given him his first opportunity as an NFL head coach when no one else did. For that, he was grateful and would always be grateful. God was just ready for him to move on. His time in Tampa was done. He had given it all he had, and God had closed the door. Then God opened the door of opportunity in Indianapolis. not only to do well on the field, but to have an impact in the community there and beyond as he did in Tampa. But he had to move with God as he was parting the Red Sea. God works out everything, my friends, for good, for those who love him and seek his way, as we heard in Romans 8:28 by the Apostle Paul. He is active in our lives and reaches out to touch us every day and every moment. And do you know that Tony was also honored 2 years ago by being included in the Ring of Honor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How about that? My friends, we are never too far from God's reach. The Red Sea crossing reminds us that our act of God can and will reach us, touch us, and be with us wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. He will pester us, prod, pull, and poke us toward the life he created us to live. He will not be silent if we are going backward or standing still and accepting less for our lives. Here are a few things to remember for our lives from our time together on the shores of the Red Sea. 1, God knows exactly where we are and is always with us. 2, no matter what we face in life, God will always fight for us. 3, he expects us to be moving forward with him. No pity parties, no curling up in the corner in fetal position, whining, woe is me, I can't move forward, I don't know what to do. No acceptance of a life less than we were meant to live, and remembering that there is no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. 4, God is always working things out for our good and his ultimate glory, to show a skeptical world once again that he is God. And finally, whenever we're on the shores of our own Red Sea with seemingly nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, and with the world closing in all around us, don't ask, how can I get out of this? But instead, keep going, keep working, keep following him with an expectation of excitement, belief, and trust to see all that God will do with your life, for you, for others, and all for his glory. And in his divine and eternal power, with you ready to go with him, I suspect he stands ready to part whatever Red Sea you're facing. Let me pray for us. You're something, Lord, always reminding us of your presence in our lives. You're reaching down for us, always, always wanting us to move forward so that you can part and help us with whatever is before us. As you parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, we know that you are fully capable in your supernatural power of parting the Red Sea that stands before us. So we claim that with you, and for you, and trust you now. Help us also, Lord, help others that you bring before us to be sensitive to them, to that God poke you put before us to touch another life near us. Help us be sensitive and urge them and help them to also see that you can walk, help them walk through that Red Sea they face, that you will always be there for us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for being with those going through surgery. Thanks for all that you do for us and with us. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.